Increase Cycle Time, der Jobrad Development Podcast.
Hello, lovely people from the Internet. Welcome to another episode of Increase Cycle Time. This is a podcast of Jobrad. And I'm Holger, software engineer in a product team in the PTO, which is the product and tech organization at Jobrad. And I'm sitting here in Hollywood, but I'm not alone in Hollywood. I'm, as usual, I'm accompanied by my colleague Urs. Hello, Urs. How are you doing?
Hello, Holger. Not alone in Hollywood. Sounds like a great movie.
Yeah.
Hello, dear people from the internet. As Holger said, I'm Urs. I'm team lead for team developer experience in the PTO at Jobrad. And together with Holger, we do the podcast Increase Cycle Time. And today we have a guest. Hi, Mo.
Hello.
And we want to tell you about software development at Jobrad in all its facets. And now we wish you a lot of fun with the new episode. Mo, who are you? Why are you here today? Tell us.
I'm a software engineer at Jobrad, and I write code, basically. And I think one of the reasons is that I recently published a book about Docker and Kubernetes security, and that was also the title.
What a coincidence.
Yes.
Good thing we invited you and not someone else who didn't write a book.
So I think you're also in a product team at the PDO. So we are basically the same person.
Exactly. Yes. We even joined on the same date.
We joined on the same date, which was...
You didn't know that.
First time.
I didn't.
Yes. First of October.
Oops. You looked familiar. I didn't know why, but you looked familiar. Yeah. Yeah. You wrote a book on Docker security. Could you give us a high level intro into the topic? Maybe just spare out the very nitty gritty details.
Okay. Maybe just before we do that, dear listeners, we won't go too much into detail, I think, today with all this tech stuff, but nonetheless, we will talk about it, right?
Yeah.
So don't worry if you don't understand everything about Docker and Kubernetes security. But
and YAML files, we'll discuss YAML files in details.
Yeah, we will read them out, of course.
Of course. No, we won't.
Yeah, so...
carry on.
let's put it like this. So we have a castle and we want to protect. And then the usual security is that you put guards on the walls and stuff. And that is everyone's doing. And then there is another part which is more neglected, and that's called supply chain security. And that's when you have guards on the walls, but the pizza delivery is an infiltrator and is already in the castle. So I think that's the main focus of the book, to check who's the infiltrator and if the pizza delivery guy is a spy. That's kind of the...
You kind of lost me already there. I'm not an expert in Docker security. I'm a front end guy. I know every JavaScript framework out there. So pizza delivery guy meaning we're looking at a system and requests or people using that system, and you need to make sure that the people using that system are actually
Kind of. So the castle is probably your cluster where you put all your Docker containers in your server, and the pizza delivery guy is the packages that you installed on your containers.
Okay.
And there is no check. So the guards on the walls won't check for them. If the vulnerability is already inside the castle, then you're already doomed. Yes.
You're already doomed.
But are you, though? Don't you have any chance then, or...?
Then you have to rebuild the castle, basically.
Okay.
And then deploy it.
Great. So it's a book about castles and how to keep everyone out of your castle, basically.
Exactly, yes. The best way to keep everyone out of the castle is that you have no one in the castle. So that's the first tip.
don't build a system. That's nice.
That makes a lot of sense.
That's
So why did you write a book in the first place? What was your motivation?
I didn't want to do it. So I was sitting there in a sunny day in the summer.
And you were bored.
No, so there was this tech publisher, and then they reached out to me and said, please write us a book.
And why would they do that? No one has ever reached out to me to write a book.
Okay. Yeah, so maybe...
maybe I need to start worrying.
Yep. No, so I think shortly before that, I became a Docker captain, and this put me under radar. And they said, you should write a book about Docker. And I said, okay, I like supply chain security. And they said, put Kubernetes security also on it because then it will sell better. Mm-hmm. So I put both. And then I started writing the book. It took me about 2 years, I think.
Okay.
And then after it was finished, they had some internal reorganization. Mm-hmm. So they said, we don't want your book anymore. So I said, okay, sure. Do I have the right to the material? They said, yes, you can find the new publisher. So I found the new publisher, and that was me, basically.
You're self-publishing.
Yes.
Can you explain in one or two sentences what a Docker captain is?
Okay. So the Docker captain, I think, is someone who knows a bit of Docker and amplifies the knowledge. It does some community work, writes blogs, does conference speeches, things like that. And I think I became a captain because I was running at Docker Meetup in Freiburg. So it was, I think, in 2019, I arrived in Freiburg for the second time. Before that, I was in Amsterdam. And so there we had a meetup every second day or something. So it's a lot of things happening. And then I arrived to Freiburg. It's a smaller city. And then the pandemic hit. Mm-hmm. Nothing was happening. And then in 2022, I thought, okay, let's start something because I'm really bored. And then I started the Docker community in Freiburg. And yeah, so that I was also already writing blogs and stuff like that. So that's also one connection with JobHat that we can maybe get to later or now, as you wish.
I was just about to ask, you just said you wrote the book for about 2 years.
Yes.
When you finished the book, did you need to rewrite stuff you wrote earlier because it was outdated already?
Yeah. So I think half of the stuff were already outdated.
Half the stuff.
Yeah, maybe it's a bit exaggeration but the industry, especially in the security, it moves so fast.
Yeah.
So after I had to self-publish, then I reached out to many other captains. They did a lot of review and maybe some editing, and they checked if the things are still relevant, are they deprecated, and then they basically gave it a fresh brush, and then I published, I think, 6 months later in October last year.
And then you need to get a lot of people to read it very quickly because otherwise it's outdated again.
No. Yeah. And then after it was published, I gave it to a few friends. One is a DevOps engineer in Freiburg. And he read it and said, okay, one tool that you introduce here is also already deprecated, so maybe you should do another edition already. So this is why I have the version numbers on the book, like I do minor.
Semantic versioning on the book.
Yeah, but that's the thing with books, right? So it's, they will get outdated rather quickly if you tap into
too much details.
Yeah, or in modern tech.
Exactly.
If you now write a book on, if we now get the motivation, us three, to write a book on, let's say, Cloud Code.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that.
You
need to be a very quick writer.
Yes, yes. But that's the same, I guess.
Yeah,
the book can be as good as it would be if we would write this book, but it will be outdated as we write it.
Exactly.
Yes. But it's an interesting spin because I think we talked about that earlier in the AI episode, for example, that things tend to move even quicker than they already did.
Yeah.
And so you wrote that book. When did you start? In 2023-ish?
Yes.
So that was a time when things were already moving fast, but not that fast, I guess.
Yeah.
But if you would write a book now about current topics, that I think it would be even more of a challenge.
Yeah. So one, you could either write a book that is very abstract, like there is another container security book that is not getting too much into details, and then you can keep it for maybe 5 years, and then you're not super outdated. Mm. But if you're hands-on, if you have so many examples and commands there, then they would be deprecated. One funny thing was that I had a, maybe it's too much techie, but I had a CI job, GitHub Actions, and the version that was on it never existed. So after the book was finished, because the version was the branch name and the branch name was master, when the book was finished, they had renamed the branch to main and said, so the code in the book didn't work anymore.
Happens. Yep.
So when you started writing, you were not yet working at JobRad, right?
Yes.
So then JobRad hired you because you were a famous author, or
no, no.
How did it work together? Because I imagine it's a lot of work to write a book.
Yes. So the story is that there was a Python meetup in JobRad, I think 2023 also. Mm-hmm. No, 24. And that was the first Python meetup that JobRad was doing. And I saw it, I thought, okay, this is nice. I always wanted to look into JobRad because it has a nice office, but I didn't know how the people are inside. So I said, okay, I will sign up for this meetup. And then in the description, they said that they're looking for another speaker because they only had one. So I signed up for speaking also about maybe Dockerizing Python or something like that. And that was nice. Then the CTO back then was there, Matthias Wegner, I think. Mm-hmm. Jan was there, Jan Engler. Mm-hmm. And I talked to them. I said, I have this Docker meetup thingy. Maybe I should do another one of these at JobRad. They said, okay, let's do it. And JobRad hosted one of the Docker meetups. I told Jan the next time that I'm looking for a job. And the rest was...
The rest is history.
Yes,
history.
Yeah, nice.
And then did you work in part-time or something to continue writing your book?
No.
How much effort is it really? I can't even imagine.
So in the beginning, it was more effort. In that phase, it was mostly back and forth between me and the editor. So it wasn't a lot of time that I had to. It was mostly waiting on the technical writers or editors to make some comments on the chapters. And then after I gave the rights to the material, then it was mostly coordinating with the... But yeah, so that was also a lot of work, but it was mostly done on my free time, not on the work time.
If you would start writing a book now, would you swap the editor for an AI to get quicker feedback?
Yes and no. So the one thing that AI can do better than the editor that I had was that the editor made some very mechanical comments sometimes. Mm-hmm. That was annoying because then you had to discuss with the editor about them. With AI, you can just ignore them if you think the comment is not relevant. But it's always nice to have a few real people looking into your material because AI can hallucinate and give you false information.
So it would be a two-step process.
Yeah.
So fast feedback through AI and then when you're at a more... refined stage, then let an editor review it.
So I would also say that this is also maybe traditional publishing versus you should be faster. Mm-hmm. And in the traditional publishing, things move more slowly because this is a historical way of doing things. And if you're writing a tech book, maybe you should make things faster because then you will get outdated soon. Mm.
I was just thinking on a meta level, why would one write a book today in the age of AI? You can get any information.
Yes.
But I think, I'm reading books, technical books right now. There's at least for me, there's a difference having, like you said, the human in the loop, like one said, having someone think about the thread in the book, the ideas in the book, and having that curated it with some thought in mind. There's still a really value in that, but maybe,
I would agree with that. I'm actually just reading a book about coding with AI currently. And people do still write those books. And of course, they use AI in the process of writing those books. And yes, they do get outdated really quickly. I think you just need to be even more open to that when writing and when reading. So actually, the book I'm reading is Vibe Coding by Gene Kim and Steve Yeager. And they, when they give examples, they also always say that's at the time of writing that, that's the state of the art, and that's what we have seen as a result. But you might very well get very different results if you do the same experiment now. And I think that's just fair, because you can't actually guarantee right now that whatever you write in a book is valid anymore 2 months later.
But still, you see the thought process.
Exactly,
which I think is relevant in 2 years' time. Yeah. Even if the technology changes, the things we apply there on the meta level are still valid.
Yeah, yes. And I personally, I'm a very analog person when it comes to learning. So I do learn a lot of better when I have paper in my hands and a text marker, and I can just work with that. As compared to when I read an ebook or something, some PDF on the internet, I find that very tiring. And I find myself having a hard time reading through a complete DORA report, for example, when it's open in the browser, because it's just, it feels so so tiring to scroll through that. And I can't even describe it any better, but paper makes more sense for me when it comes to learning. So yes, books are probably of value.
But what was your motivation to do it? Was it, well, there's the opportunity, let's take it? Or was it fame?
No.
I don't know. Is it the money?
Did you do it for the money? There is no money in writing books. No, so it's a Yeah, so when this publisher came in and said, yeah, you should do it, I also felt that I'm not ready to do it. But then, yeah, so that was the opportunity and I took it. I was also a bit reluctant in the beginning, but they were very persistent.
Okay, nice. Yeah, at least. Well, I did not write a book. I did write longer things, but I think it's if I would think about it, it would be the challenge. I think it's nothing that I or maybe we do on a very you do it on a regular basis. But it's something different. Can I do this? And does having the end result in the hand, that this, which a cover, nice cover and nice paper. I think that's
The publisher did help a lot. So they were pushing me to write it like on weekly basis, like every week. Like, did you put this much effort? Did you meet the deadline? Did you write this many pages on this chapter? So. They really pushed me to do it, because it's otherwise kind of a lot of work and you don't see the result instantly. So,
How did you decide what to put in the books so that it it works as a complete concept? Because if you would write a fantasy book, then you would have a story arc and everything just comes together because it's part of a story. If you write a tech book, then you can have a story, but it's harder, I guess.
Yes. So also in the beginning, I had to put down the arc as you mentioned into a document, and then the publisher had to verify it, and then I started with the chapters. So I decided to write 5 chapters on supply chain security, and then 5 other ones on Kubernetes security, or runtime security. And as I was more interested in the first part, the first 5 chapters became a lot fatter than the other 5 chapters. But yeah, so it's also a nice experience to basically organize your book into chapters and then have a thread of a story basically in it. It's not like people are fighting and there is a twist or something, but there's still some organization.
Did you have some kind of well, if I do a talk, I try to have as the first thing. A first thing is the abstract, and in the abstract, I want to outline what do I want the people listening to the talk want want to learn, maybe one, two, three things that I want to hammer home. Mm. Was it the same when writing the book? Did you have some messages that, well,
yeah, the reader needs to try? It's a bit longer. So also, when I'm playing a game, usually there is, if you're doing a racing game, they usually give you the best card they have in the beginning so that you experience with the game, and then they took it away, and then they give you another card to build upon. Mm. I tried to do the same, give the reader an experience of how the whole book looks like, how they will learn, and then start from the scratch and then build things up to that level. But yeah, so that takes a bit longer. Longer than scrolling through TikTok. Yeah.
So you didn't do TikToks to advertise your book?
I did something similar, I would say.
YouTube short.
Yes. No, so after the book was published in October, so in the December, I came up with this idea that I will do an advent series. Mm-hmm. So every day I was publishing a blog post that was a story of people in Blackbird Forest doing some stuff, fighting demons and stuff. And then there was a security tip that was related to that. So TikTok format security tips bundled with the story. And I thought that's maybe more interesting because a tech book is long and people used to TikTok will probably not be very interested in it.
And did it work?
The blog series was fine. I didn't do much advertisement, and then I compiled it into another book, a shorter one.
Ah, okay. So you made a book out of your advertisement.
Yes. Yes.
Basically a second book to advertise the first book.
Exactly, yes.
Nice. Yeah, but I think it would be, if you just condense down those tips into bite-sized stuff, doing this on TikTok, 1 minute would be not completely absurd, I think.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't like my own voice, so seeing myself...
I do like your voice.
Good thing you're doing a podcast now.
Yeah, then I can listen to it afterwards and see if I still like my voice. Yeah, so then I will probably put some effort in that, but I still have to learn about making videos and stuff like that. Maybe I will AI generate some videos.
Of course.
And since you just told us you wrote a second book quickly after the first one, are you willing to write third and fourth? Or
yeah, no. So this is still not out yet. I just printed some. You can take a look. I just printed some proofs and so that I can distribute in the conference that I'm going to tomorrow.
This doesn't have a version yet.
No, unfortunately. The version is inside.
Okay.
Yes. It has a lot of photos. So if you're not into security, you can look at the photos. And
nice. Version 0.1.0.
Yes.
Okay. Cool.
And yeah, so I will try to put it out next month, hopefully. Yeah, so and if it's a bite-sized thing and it has stories and stuff, then it's probably... easier to put out quickly before it's outdated.
Yeah, but that would be one another question. If you now, well, you already have some a kind of nice looking book. Can we talk about the title?
Sure.
Yeah. A Black Forest Shadow: A Dark Fantasy Guide to Docker and Kubernetes Security. Yes. One question would be now you wrote your first book. It was a I don't know. You tell
classical
me.
Book.
It was a success, I think. It was
not in sales, but it received some recognition. So there is this prize, the best DevOps security book of the year. So it became a finalist there. So didn't win the title,
but yes. Still a success, I would say.
Yes, thank
you. Yeah. One question would be: would you write after everything you learned? Maybe we can talk about the things you learned or what went bad. Did you want to write another book? That answers it, I think. Well, it's
yeah. So, but a different format. So one other thing was that because I worked with a publisher from the beginning, I couldn't go crazy as much as I wanted. After I took back the rights, I added some jokes and then crazy stuff in it. Like in the back of the first book, there is a choose your character kind of thing in Mortal Kombat style basically credit the people who contributed to the book. But then I went totally nuts in that second book, and that's what I like to do, basically, going crazy. Yeah.
Mm. So are you going to write a full-fledged fantasy book next?
I'm not sure if I'm skilled enough to do that, but yes, let's see. I also asked ChatGPT if it's something that I can do. ChatGPT said no. The fantasy part works because you have security tips bundled with it. If it's just this story, then you have no chance.
That's brutally honest. Yeah. Wow.
But I think that's a learning, it's the same for me. When you do something and you do something for the end goal, but if the process reaching that end goal isn't fun, then the end goal can be as promising as it could be. If the process isn't fun, then it's way, way harder. Yes. And the chances that you skip this is higher. And if I hear one learning, make the process of doing this way more fun.
Exactly. Like for the first book, I was really pushing myself to doing it when I was writing the book. The second one, I had fun doing some stuff, and then I just put it into a book, and if it sells or not, I don't really care that much because it was a fun journey.
Yeah. Nice. Awesome. Could you share one maybe funny mistake you did with the book? One funny typo, one funny, I don't know, mistake you did. Was there something?
There is a mistake that I did. I'm not sure if it's funny. So when you're self-publishing, there are some things that you have to do. So self-publishing works like this. So there are multiple channels. The most maybe famous one is that you give your cover page, cover design, and the content to Amazon, and Amazon has a program that they will publish on demand. Mm-hmm. And this system doesn't work in India. So in India, you can sell the ebook still, but they won't print it for you in India. So I thought, okay, let's also collaborate with an Indian publisher to make it available in India in paperback format. And they also started the international distribution. So the Indian version took over my international, like my original version, and my metadata was kind of corrupted, and the original book stopped showing up on Amazon. So it's not that funny. if you wanted more funny experience, maybe I can.
No, but it's still annoying a little bit, I guess.
Still an interesting topic, because do you know where your book sold best? So geographically?
Yes. So there are these things that Amazon offers. It's called KDP, Kindle Direct Publishing. Mm-hmm. You have a demographic of when you sell a book, in which country was it sold, which format. Mm-hmm. And I think it was mostly Germany and the US. Germany, because I did the most, maybe I have the best network and did the most advertisement, maybe. I didn't do much advertisement in it. But the US, because it's in English.
Okay. And India? Because the extra effort?
Yeah. The other publisher, I think their data is not that up to date, so it still shows as nothing was sold. Oh. Which is incorrect, because I bought my own book through their channel once to see how's this quality. Yeah. But we will have to wait on that.
Yeah. Okay.
If people listening to this episode now think, well, let's write a book, what would be the first thing you would advise them to do?
I think So I was kind of lucky to have maybe experienced both worlds and doing traditional publishing or doing a self-publishing. Both of them have their own benefits and challenges. I think if it's a tech book, maybe you should decide where to go, which way. But I think that's probably the first thing to think about. If you want to self-publish, you have to learn a lot about how the book should look like. I don't know how, where to put the page numbers, things like that, and the chapter should start on the right. If you do with a traditional publisher, then you just write your book and the rest is handled by the publisher, okay. But then you have less control over how crazy you can get. Mm-hmm. For you. Mm-hmm.
And would you recommend at all to write a book to the
good question.
Standard person?
No. I'm not sure. So
how motivated do you need to be to actually go through with it?
Yeah. So also depends on the topic. It takes a lot of effort, and if you're doing it for money, it's not worth it. If you're doing it for I would say you should do it for learning about the topic, maybe, or to do some community work. So you should treat it as if you're doing a meetup or if you're going at a conference and doing a talk just for the sake of doing a talk and then giving information to people. If you're wanting some benefits in it, there's not much benefit you can get from
visibility, I guess.
Which
is not nothing.
Yeah, true. But you can do, if you do conference talks, probably you will get more visibility. Oh.
But would you say it grew your network? So do you sell your book to the people you already know anyways, and maybe they think higher of you or something? Or would you say it good actually question. Increases your reach?
Good question. It's still a bit early to maybe say that. So maybe it should become more viral, or I should put more advertisement effort on it to give you a concrete answer on that. But
well, at least after the complete internet heard your podcast today.
Yes, yeah. Yes, nice. My sales will skyrocket.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, where can we get the book?
This first book, and there's a website called DockerSecurity.io, and then you have the links to the Amazon websites, because there are multiple Amazon stores on depending on where on Earth you are. Probably you will click on the .de one, and there is also the direct sale page on the website as well, in case you want to get the ebook or if you're outside of the Amazon reach. Then I will send it to you directly.
We will put the link in the comments below.
Yes, will absolutely do that. And when do you expect your second book to be publicly available?
I'm going to this conference, so I did a thingy there.
That you did called... go to that conference?
True, yes.
You did go to this conference and it was awesome.
Yes, thank you. So I went to this very nice conference.
Tomorrow?
a few days back, yes. And so because of that, I put also on the website a thingy called Docker Commandos pack, which has half of the second book and the first chapter of the first book. So you can take a look if it's not out yet, but if it's out, then it will be also on the same website.
Cool.
Yeah.
You're nice.
Good.
Good. Good. Sehr gut. Yes.
Or as we say in German, so.
So. Exactly. Yeah, I think.
What does the timer say?
The timer say we are 30 minutes plus. That's 37 minutes plus.
Oops. Ah, nice.
That's an epic episode. So I think that would be all from my side. If you do not have any other comments.
I do have a lot of other comments, but I will hold them back for the next episode.
All right. Any last words?
Famous last words, yeah.
So I would... connected back to JobRad, maybe. One thing that is very nice at JobRad is that you can go crazy, and this is maybe a thread that connects the craziness that I put into the books with JobRad, and that's something that I really appreciate, because people appreciate my craziness and they say, go crazy, don't hold back.
Nice. Yes. Yeah, true. All right.
Good.
So then, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mo.
And thank you, people listening to this. And yeah, keep commenting and buy the book.
Absolutely, right. Do that. See you.
See you. Thank you.